Also in Khan Yunis, a Palestinian child was killed in an Israeli bombing targeting tents housing displaced people there. Fatalities were also reported following Israeli artillery shelling of areas in and around the city. Earlier on Sunday, 8 members of the same family were killed in an Israeli airstrike in southern Gaza. Other parts of the territory were also the scene of violent regime attacks in the past 24 hours. According to the Gaza Health Ministry, nearly 50,700 Palestinians have been killed since October 2023, when the regime began its genocidal campaign against the blockaded territory. More than 115,000 others have also been injured since then. Well, we earlier talked to our Ramallah correspondent Naqa Hamad to get further details regarding the latest Israeli raids into occupied West Bank towns and refugee camps. Let's take a listen to what she had to say.
As you have mentioned, the IOF attacked many areas in the West Bank. Let's start by the news that is saying about that is talking about the targeting of the Palestinian workers near Bethlehem, to the west of Bethlehem, where the IOF opened fire on a group of Palestinian workers who were just trying to go to that place they were. And three of them were injured. Among them is one critical injury that occurred with live ammunition. This is something that we are seeing more, that the IOF attacks Palestinian workers, especially in the areas that are surrounding the apartheid wall, in areas like Bethlehem, in areas like Tarqumia, in Al Khalil, and in areas in the north like Qalqilia, and some parts of Tul Kerem. And of course, that was not the only attack that was made by the IOF forces. The IOF has raided both refugee camps of Aqabat Jaber and Ain Sultan in Jericho and Ariha, near to the east of Ramallah. And of course, while making these incursions, many arrests have been made, detaining Palestinians, terrorizing families in the hours of the night.
Well, over 600,000 children in Gaza are at risk of permanent paralysis and chronic disabilities due to the Israel's prevention of polio vaccines into the Strip. Gaza's health ministry called Israel blocking polio vaccines from entering the besieged territory a time bomb that threatens to spread the epidemic. It warned that serious and catastrophic repercussions will be added to the already exhausted health system in Gaza. The ministry urged relevant health authorities to apply pressure on Israel to allow the entry of the vaccines. Poliovirus is highly infectious and most often spreads through sewage and contaminated water, mainly affecting children under the age of 5. The UK has lashed out at Israel over detaining and denying entry to 2 British parliamentarians on a visit to the occupied Palestinian territories. In a statement, British Foreign Secretary David Lammy condemned Israel's treatment of the 2 Labour Party MPs as unacceptable. He slammed the regime's, quote, deeply concerning and counterproductive measure. On Saturday, Israel refused entry to Yuan Yang and Ebtisam Muhammad, who were on a visit to witness firsthand the situation in the occupied Palestinian territory. The Israeli regime claims they were planning to document the activities of security forces and spread anti-Israel hatred. The 2 MPs have dismissed these accusations by Israel as false claims. The 2 lawmakers were actively involved in promoting sanctions against Israeli ministers and supported campaigns aimed at boycotting Israeli products in recent months. The Yemeni armed forces say they have targeted the U.S. aircraft carrier Harry S. Truman and its accompanying warships in the Red Sea with drones and missiles.
In recent hours, the missile force and drone unit, with support from the naval forces, engaged several U.S. warships in the northern Red Sea, including the U.S. aircraft carrier Truman, using a number of cruise missiles and drones. The hours-long attack operation disrupted the enemy's ability to carry out hostile assaults on our country during the period of the strike. Additionally, the naval forces of the armed forces carried out a military operation targeting the U.S. supply ship accompanying the Truman aircraft carrier with a ballistic missile.
Sadiyar emphasized that Yemen's leadership, people, and armed forces are committed to defending the Palestinian people as a religious, moral, and humanitarian duty. He said operations against Israel and Israel-related ships will continue until the regime's aggression against Gaza ends and the territory's blockade is lifted. The new operation came after Yemeni forces targeted an Israeli military site in the occupied Palestinian territories using a drone. Additionally, Yemen's air defenses shot down a U.S. reconnaissance drone over Saada province with a domestically produced surface-to-air missile. When it comes to the war on Yemen, the U.S. claims it has bombed Yemen successfully, taking out military leaderships and destroyed its equipment and arsenal. Yet Yemen continues to retaliate against the U.S. bombing campaign, proving false the U.S. claims that it had weakened the Yemeni army. Roya joins us to tell us more.
The Yemeni army and the Ansarullah fighters have given the U.S. a run for their money when it comes to the U.S.'s incessant attacks on Yemen. So far, however, the Yemenis continue to not only retaliate against the U.S. and its allied partners like the U.K., but also hit targets in the occupied territories, all in solidarity with Palestinians. The Yemeni armed forces have announced an attack on Tel Aviv using a Jaffa drone and shooting down a giant Shark F-360 reconnaissance drone UAV. Additionally, they engaged the USS Harry Truman carrier and its warships for the second time in as many days. Keep in mind, this comes as the U.S. has continued attacking the Yemeni army, claiming it has incurred massive damage on it. Meanwhile, the cost of the U.S. military operation against the Ansarullah fighters, named Operation Rough Rider, will reach about $1 billion in less than 3 weeks. In just 3 weeks, the Pentagon has used $200 million worth of munitions, in addition to costs to deploy 2 aircraft carriers, additional B-2 bombers and fighter jets, as well as Patriot and Thaad air defenses. The B-2 bombers based in Diego Garcia have been used in the operation against the Houthis, an operation announced to last 6 months. Yemeni forces have shot down a total of 21 U.S. MQ-9 drones, with each drone costing $33 million. This has cost the U.S. $630 million. Most of the drones were shot down over the 2024-2025 time period, especially since March 15, when U.S. Operation Rough Rider began. Let's not forget, the MQ-9 drones are the most advanced U.S. spy drone manufactured by the U.S. Since the start of the Red Sea attacks on 19th of October, the Houthis have launched 164 missiles and 265 drones at 79 ships, for a total of 428 drones and missiles launched, hitting 29 merchant vessels and sinking 2 of them. A U.S. naval commander described the offensives as the most significant in 2 generations since the so-called tanker war of the 1980s. The attacks by the U.S. under different U.S. presidents is worth looking at, given how the current U.S. president has attacked Yemen so ferociously. It is pretty apparent that under Trump, the U.S. has attacked Yemen the most, and many thought Trump was an anti-war president. From March 15, 2025, till the present day, the United States launched air and naval attacks against dozens of Houthi targets in Yemen called Operation Rough Rider. So far, 62 U.S. strikes have been executed. As if the U.S. military and equipment losses were not enough, this is the conclusion reached after the bombing campaign, that the U.S. B-2 Spirit bombers have failed to destroy Houthi underground missile complex with bunker buster bombs. The U.S. Air Force dropped GBU-57 air bombs weighing in at 30,000 pounds. It is among the largest non-nuclear bombs ever made in the world. However, the Americans failed to destroy the missile weapons of the Yemenis. Finally, what the U.S. and the U.S. president claimed to have been a gathering of Yemeni army fighters, which it wiped out, turns out to be a celebratory Yemeni tribal gathering celebrating Eid al-Fitr. Judge for yourself. The U.S. military brags about this, but it was faulty intel, bringing back memories of what it did in Afghanistan for so long.
The violent Israeli attack on rescue teams in Gaza's Rafah continue to draw condemnations. Palestinian Red Crescent Society spokesperson Nibal Farsakh has rejected the regime's narrative and demanded an immediate investigation to ensure justice for the victims.
Although ambulances carried the internationally protected emblem and had their lights turned on, the occupation soldiers deliberately opened fire hysterically on the ambulance team, whose members were also wearing Red Crescent uniforms, and this led to the martyrdom of the teams. This video clearly and openly refutes the story presented by the occupation, which deliberately targets ambulances along with medical and health personnel. The occupation is telling a false story. The occupation has told the world that its forces targeted ambulances that were moving suspiciously without their lights on, and accuses them, as usual, with the same fabricated narrative that they belong to Hamas. This is not the first targeting of the society's teams. 27 members of the Red Crescent Society have been killed by Israeli forces while performing their humanitarian duties and while wearing the Red Crescent badge. Today, we, the Palestinian Red Crescent, call on the international community to conduct an immediate and independent investigation that ensures justice for the victims and holds accountable all those involved in this crime.
Well, thousands of protesters have staged a massive rally in the U.S. Capitol against the detention of pro-Palestinian students and scholars in the country in recent months. The protesters gathered in front of the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement's headquarters in Washington, D.C., calling for the release of the students arrested for supporting Palestinians. They also called for the end of ongoing genocide committed by the Israeli regime in Gaza and the liberation of Palestine. The demonstrators waved Palestinian flags and chanted slogans in support of people in Gaza. In recent months, the U.S. administration has launched a campaign of detention of students for their pro-Palestine views. It is looking to deport the students who are legally in the U.S., citing national security. Critics say the move violates free speech protections. Iran's foreign minister has once again rejected direct negotiations with the U.S. after the country's president claimed Tehran wanted direct talks with Washington. Abbas Araghchi said any direct negotiation would be meaningless when the other party constantly threatens to use force in violation of the UN Charter. Araghchi, however, said that Iran remains committed to diplomacy and is ready to test the path of indirect talks. The top diplomat also touched on the unilateral withdrawal of the U.S. from the nuclear deal. He said Tehran is now ready to pursue talks on its nuclear activities in return for the removal of cruel sanctions against the country as a trust-building step. The commander of Iran's Khatam al-Anbiya Joint Air Defense Command says Iran's air defense systems have been armed with, quote, the most advanced weapons unimaginable to enemies. Brigadier General Amir Sabah Hifard was answering a question on reports on social media that the Islamic Republic has produced plasma guns. The general added that the armed forces have full combat readiness to counter any threat. He warned that any miscalculation by enemies will trigger a decisive response by the Iranian armed forces. This was a response to threats by the U.S. president to bomb Iran's nuclear facilities. Sabah Hifard was speaking during a visit to southern Iran alongside the commander of the IRGC's Aerospace Force Brigadier General Amir Ali Hajizadeh. During the visit, they inspected the defense capabilities of the forces stationed in southern Iranian islands. Our correspondent in Tehran, Mariam Azarshed, earlier told us the U.S. simply does not have the ability to bomb Iran and wipe out the Islamic Republic.
Nobody really can make Iran do. I mean, for the longest time, we're talking over 46 years, they have tried to annihilate the Islamic Republic, not only, basically bound it to certain boundaries. What the U.S. regime has done is impose extreme sanctions on Iran, impose sanctions on certain medicines that only a few countries in the world used to make, and now Iran is joining those countries. They were killing Iranian patients. because of what, you know? So obviously, you know, they have done everything in their books, and it hasn't worked with Iran. They haven't been able to make the Islamic Republic bow. And those third parties also, I mean, this is the fact of the matter is those third parties are not exactly independent in their policies. I mean, we just saw recently, military drills Qatar had, for instance, with the Israeli regime as Palestinians are being killed. And at the same time, you know, these, certain Persian Gulf countries, they told Iran that if the U.S. was going to basically dare to bomb Iran, they would actually not allow their soil to be used because these are not really important players. You know, they're afraid. They're afraid if the U.S. hits us because they're afraid that basically American bases in their countries are potential targets for Iran to respond. So really the only major players in this are Iran and the U.S. And if the U.S. had the power to bomb Iran, it would have already bombed Iran.
Please stay tuned for more updates. Goodbye.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Tell a little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
music. Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special Program on this Sunday, April 6, 2025. I'm Atefa Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special Program is the Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcasts. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special Program is your program. It's your views that are important. Welcome back. This is Listeners, a special program, and as usual, we've received reception reports and emails from around the world, and in this edition of Listeners, a special program, we will read emails from Reginaldo Anunciação, one of our old and regular listeners from Brazil, as well as an email from Sweden from Lillian Mull. And in this edition of Listeners, a special program, we will talk about Maranjab Desert as a tourist attraction in Iran. Maranjab Desert is one of the most popular desert attractions in Iran and Isfahan province. It is just a short distance from Tehran and is located near Aran and Bitgol. The attractions of nature and tourism include sandy hills and rams, Abbasid Caravanserai, and the Wandering Island. Also, it is one of the astronomy sites in Iran. After a short break, I will talk about Maranjab Desert more. Stay with us, please. The Salt Lake of Maranjab, with dozens of tourist attractions, was registered in Iran's heritage list. this lake, which is located in the central desert of Iran between Isfahan, Semnan, and Qom provinces, with a length of 80 kilometers and a width of 30 kilometers, is about 795 meters above the sea level and is the largest salt lake in Iran. The salt lake is located 48 kilometers northeast of Aran and Bidgol city and is bounded on the east of Sefidab and Siyahkuh mountains, a national park of the desert, on the north and west of Masila desert, and on the south by the Maranjab desert and Banderig. The lake is covered with salt deposits that have formed over the centuries as floods and surface water have accumulated, and the lake's salt depth varies between 5 and 54 meters, scores separated by layers of clay. Sargardan Island is one of the most scenic parts of the lake, and the most important ingredients of this lake are sodium chloride, sodium sulfate, and more than 90,000 tons of salt is extracted from this lake annually. It is also called Wandering Island in English language. Welcome back. Dear listeners, Iran's deserts have beautiful and untouched attractions. These deserts are extremely beautiful, quiet, mysterious, and dignified. Deserts are among the world's most dramatically seductive natural habitats. In Iran's deserts, spotted diverse animal life can be spotted, including insects and wild animals with a rich variety of spectacular desert landforms. The desert, Sahara, Kavir, or Kalut are scientifically different, and their differentiations depend on altitude, annual precipitation, the type of vegetation, amount of salt present in the soil, and natural formations. In Iran, there are all types of deserts whose sand dunes, salt rivers, salt lakes, desert plants, birds, and wildlife attract thousands of tourists, depending on the regional and climatic conditions. This is Listeners, a special program, and let's see what our old and regular listener from Brazil, Reginaldo Anancioso, says. Reginaldo says, hello, how are you, dear sirs or madams? Well, I listen to your programs on SWs. I listen to IRIB English radio programs since, and yes, 80s. I think it means 1980s. Thank you very much for your attention. Also, please, I would like some material, EQSL, from Iran. Thank you very much. First of all, salam and warm greetings to Reginaldo Anancioso from Brazil. Thank you very much for this email. Please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to this email. And many thanks for your attention. Many thanks for your support, Reginaldo from Brazil. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. After a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. We have received an email from Sweden from Lillian Mull. Lillian Mull has sent us the details of her reception. For your information, dear listeners, these reception reports actually are very helpful to our technicians and engineers at IRIB English Radio. You know why? Because these reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service for our listeners around the world, and all of you who have sent in reception reports will be receiving a piece of electronic QSL or EQSL from us. So this time our listener from Sweden has sent us a piece of actually reception report and says, "Dear sirs or madam at IRIB English Radio, I had the great pleasure of hearing your station, IRIB English Radio station." And the details of her reception report. Dear listener, many thanks for writing this email and the reception report. Please accept our EQSL as confirmation to this reception report. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Time flies, and we have to wrap up this edition of Listeners a Special Program. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with IRIB English Radio and Listeners a Special Program. We wish you all the best. God bless you. Goodbye.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Mahdi Rastani.
Tonight we want to delve into and learn from our first imam what it means to be compassionate, what it means to be kind, and have a master class on the compassion and the mercy of our beloved first imam. Sometimes people hear stories about our imams, whether it's the first imam or in also when it comes to the 12th imam and his reappearance, and one might assume mistakenly that this is a person who only cares about the law. If you were to go against him, if you were to make a mistake, that's it, it's over. So you hear, for example, they say about the 12th imam that if you don't follow the law, he will hold you accountable. And one might walk away having this off-putting picture of the imam, that this is a dry person, he's a rigid person, he's the person who only knows discipline and nothing else. And this couldn't be further from the picture of who the imam truly was. Yes, Ali followed the law and he was very specific about it when it came to the rights of others. There's no doubt about this. And hence when his friend came to him late at night and knocked on the door. Ali speaks about this in some of his khutbas. And he says, let me tell you about something astonishing. When someone gave me a bribe and wanted me to sell my akhirah for the dunya. He says, this is very astonishing that this person expected me to take him up on this offer. This friend came, knocked on the door late at night, gave him sweets. And he said, Ya Ali, this is for you. And Ali asked him, he said, what is this for? Is this under which category? Is this zakat? Is this, what type of wealth is this you're giving to me? Because if it's zakat, it's haram upon us. As a family of the Prophet, we don't take zakat. And this person turned to him and said, no, Ya Ali, innaha hadiyatun, it's a gift for you. But of course, a gift to the Khalifa of the time, yes, late at night, this is, of course, a set way or a gateway into bribing Ali. And so Ali says, I looked at this food and I told him, have you gone mad? Or are you possessed by jinn? Or are you hallucinating that you're expecting Ali to take this food and sell his dunya or sell his akhirah to his dunya? So Ali was very particular about this. He looked at the sweets. He said, these sweets look like the food that comes from the tree of hellfire. That's how I see it. Looks very beautiful to you. To me, it looks like the food that comes from the tree of zaqum. Doesn't look like the food that you look at. So Ali was very open about this. At the same time, there was a compassion in his heart that was unmatched. Hence you find the Prophet Muhammad al-Mustafa, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. He said about Ali, he said, Ya Ali, inna Allah ja'alaka tuhibbul masakin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you a gift where you just love those who are in need. You love the less fortunate, you love the destitute. And this is why, Ya Ali, they are happy to follow you and they are happy to have you as an imam. This is the compassion of the imam. How did the imam used to show this compassion? This is number one. The first way that the imam used to show this compassion is that Imam Ali would never walk around and say, these are the laws of God, I'm done, I'll see you on the day of judgment. Either you follow it or you don't follow it, I'm gone. Part of the compassion of Ali was that he continuously interacted with the people of his time. Continuously tried to guide them. Continuously tried to remind them. The second level of the compassion of Ali is when he shows compassion and you see that he understands the mindset of the people he is dealing with. And he meets people where they are. This is the second level of his compassion. And you see this in the way that he used to deal with his young servants by the name of Qambar. This narration, narrated by Shia and by Sunni, Ahmad ibn Hanbal has narrated this in his book by the name of Fada'il al-Sahaba. It's a long book with many of the Fada'il of the Sahaba. And Ahmad ibn Hanbal, of course, the founder of the Hanbali school of thought, is well known to have said that the fada'il we have heard about Ali, we have not heard about any other companion of the Prophets. This is from him. Asqalani narrates this from him in Fath al-Bari, fi sharh sahih al-Bukhari. Ahmad ibn Hanbal narrates, he says, Ali went out with his servant Qambar, and he has narrated a portion of this narration. He went out with his servant Qambar into the bazaar. He came to the place where they sell clothes and they sell cloth. He turned to the owner. He said, sell me some cloth. I need two shirts. Again, this person said, yes, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I will do it for you. He walked away. He said, you know exactly who I am. He found another person. He said, will you sell it to me? Each for 3 dirhams. He said, yes. He sold him the two pieces of cloth, the clothing. He started to walk away. And then Ali took the one that was better. And he turned to Qambar. And he said, Qambar, wear this one. And the one that wasn't so appealing, he started to wear it himself. And Qambar turned to Ali. He said, Ya Ali, my master, but you go up on the minbar and you speak and you do this. People see your clothing a lot more than they see my clothing. You're supposed to take the better one. And Ali said, yes, but you know what it is? I'm embarrassed to dress better than you. This was his servant. He said, I'm embarrassed to dress better than you. And the other thing is that you are young. And because you're young, you have these aspirations and hopes and dreams. I'm older. I can live a simpler lifestyle. You're young. You like to look good. You like to look nice, so on and so forth. He gave him that piece of clothing. Recite a salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. He turned to Qanbar. He said, this one is for you because you have sharahu shabab. You have that fire in you that when you're young, you want to present yourself in a certain way. You want to dress a certain way. And Ali, you see the flexibility that he has with Qanbar. And this is something our parents need to learn from. Because there are times where our younger generation, because they come from a different time, because they come from a different place, they come from a different culture, they will ask for things that may not necessarily make the most sense to you. And what you have to look at is, number one, is this haram? No one is asking you to compromise on haram. If it's haram, you look at them and you say, no, we don't do this. This is haram. Oh, you know, sometimes people say, oh, but the times have changed. If the times had changed, then the rules of Islam already have changed based on the times as well. Don't try to change the rules of Islam because the times have changed. This is already built into the faith. But if it's haram, it's haram. You don't compromise on it. You don't have to compromise on it. And I tell you, your children will respect you more if you don't compromise on it. This is haram, number one. Number two, if it's a really bad decision, it's going to affect their life very heavily in a negative way. Yes, you're the father, you're the mother, this is your role. You're supposed to be their eyes for things that they may not be able to see. Smaller things, it's okay. Bigger things, no, this is part of your role. You're supposed to stand there and say, no, listen, I'm telling you, this is going to ruin things. This is a serious issue. And it may not necessarily in every situation be haram. That's why I'm mentioning it as a second category. But if it's going to have a negative impact and it's something big, it's a big decision, you're supposed to make that clear to them. It's part of your role. And it's okay for you to go back to them multiple times. Listen, I told you, this is not a good idea. This is how Ali used to do things as well. But then it comes down to smaller things. It's not haram. It's not ideal from your perspective. But he wants to do it like this. Allah, he wants his hair to look like this. You can tell him, listen, you look weird, but he's not going to buy it from you. That's okay. And Ali will tell you, you know what? He has sharahu shabab. He's young. He wants to do things in a certain way. It's okay. You let him do things in a certain way. This constant fine balance between making your point clear to your child and at the same time having that flexibility is a very difficult thing. It's a very difficult thing. Where do I get harsh and I say, no, this is it, and you put your foot down? And where do I play with it and I'm flexible with it? I'm not saying this is easy. This is very difficult. This is part of your reward as a father or a mother. But this is what Ali taught us.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Azim Alim Halim Hakim Mateen.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
limelight.
New China tariffs against the United States will go into effect on 10th of April. Stock markets worldwide careened even lower on Friday, 4th of April, after China matched President Donald Trump's big raise in tariffs. We take a look at the global media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Fox News Channel has covered this story and tells us more. China announced on Friday, 4th of April, it will impose 34% tariffs on the United States, just days after President Donald Trump unveiled the same amount against Beijing under his reciprocal tariff plan. The new China tariffs against the United States will go into effect on 10th of April, according to the Wall Street Journal. Donald Trump wrote on his Truth Social platform on Friday, 4th of April, China played it wrong. They panicked. The one thing they cannot afford to do. The Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson Guo Jiakun said the U.S. announced tariff hikes on imports from many countries, including China, under the pretext of reciprocity. This gravely violates World Trade Organization WTO rules and undermines the rules-based multilateral trading system. The Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson Guo Jiakun added, China firmly rejects this and will do what is necessary to defend our legitimate rights and interests. We have emphasized more than once that trade and tariff wars have no winners. Protectionism leads nowhere. We urge the United States to stop doing the wrong thing and resolve trade differences with China and other countries through consultations with equality, respect, and mutual benefit. The 34% tariffs announced against China on Wednesday come in addition to the 20% tariffs already imposed against the country by the Trump administration. Representative Jeff Van Drew, Republican of New Jersey, told Fox Business Channel, "We knew this was going to be a little bit bumpy in the beginning, but let's understand what it's all about. It's about fairness. It's about America first and not America last. We have been getting the short end of the stick for years, and it's important that Americans understand this. These are reciprocal tariffs. We have been tariffed. Our goods are tariffed. We're always at the unfair disadvantage with these countries, so it's going to be a little bumpy. They're going to cry, they're going to yell," he added. "I spoke to President Trump personally yesterday. He was telling me that already countries are coming to him saying, let's work this out. We can make a fair deal. We can do better. We will do better. Everybody just hold on a little bit. Be a little bit strong. Wall Street will come back. But this is also about Main Street. This is about making things in America." President Trump touted his sweeping tariff plan at a Make America Wealthy Again event, arguing that it will restore the American dream and bolster jobs for U.S. workers. "American steel workers, auto workers, farmers, and skilled craftsmen. We have a lot of them here with us today. They really suffered gravely. They watched in anguish as foreign leaders have stolen our jobs. Foreign cheaters have ransacked our factories, and foreign scavengers have torn apart our once beautiful American dream. We had an American dream that you don't hear so much about these days. You did 4 years ago, and you are now, but you don't too often. But now it's our turn to prosper, and in doing so, use trillions and trillions of dollars to reduce our taxes and pay down our national debt." President Trump added, "And it will all happen very quickly. With today's action, we're finally going to be able to make America great again, greater than ever before. Jobs and factories will come roaring back into our country, and you'll see it happening already. We will supercharge our domestic industrial base." The trade announcements have sparked uncertainty about the cost of goods to Americans, which White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt brushed aside on Tuesday at a press conference arguing the tariff plan is going to work. The American newspaper The Wall Street Journal has also covered President Trump's latest tariffs and how international markets have reacted. A sharp rise in trade war intensity sent Wall Street spiraling on Friday, 4th of April, pushing the Nasdaq index into a bear market, denoting a 20% decline from its peak. China's decision to apply a 34% levy to all imported goods from the United States next Thursday, 10th of April, after President Donald Trump's tariffs go into effect, rattled international markets in part because it further deflated hopes that a global settlement could be reached soon. Further hitting sentiment, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, said the U.S. economy was more likely to face a period of higher prices and weaker growth than seemed possible a few weeks ago, because of larger-than-anticipated tariff hikes. The Standard & Poor's 500 index dropped 6%, the Nasdaq slid 5.8%, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 2,231 points. The carnage was widespread, with 14 Standard & Poor's 500 stocks rising for the day and 28 dropping 10% or more. The market-wide toll from a two-day tariff rout surged to a record $6.6 trillion. The torrent of selling late this week shows investors coming to grips with the grim implications of the standoff. The levies announced late on Wednesday were deeper and more aggressive than the business world had expected. Retaliation stands to intensify the economic effects of the policies, which could reduce consumer income and slow economic growth. Now investors are bracing for further conflict, none of which is likely to improve the outlook for the global economy or corporate profits, the strongest driver of stock prices. Even as President Trump left the door open to making deals, he vowed new tariffs on drugs and microchips. Investors took little comfort from Donald Trump's stated willingness to negotiate. JP Morgan Chase analyst on Thursday boasted that their odds on a global recession has now increased to 60%. President Trump remained unbowed, saying that now is a great time to get rich and that China played it wrong. They panicked. The Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, acknowledged that markets are crashing, but said economies weren't and that global businesses would adjust to the new environment. Investors drew little solace from an unexpectedly strong jobs report. That showed the economy added 228,000 jobs last month, giving little sign that uncertainty ahead of the tariff rollout had derailed the labor market. On Friday, 4th of April, major U.S. indices opened sharply lower before staging a modest recovery late in the morning after President Trump said Vietnam's leader wants to cut its tariffs to zero. Another mild rally pushed prices off their lows later on in the day. Overseas markets took fresh hits, with European stocks tumbling more than 4%. Traders have ramped up bets on interest rate cuts this year, figuring the U.S. Federal Reserve will have to shore up the economy. Oil prices slid further, with benchmark U.S. crude falling to about $62 a barrel, its lowest level since 2021. Investors rushed into the treasuries, pushing 10-year yields well below 4% before they drifted back up late on Friday. Bonds in other big economies, including Japan, Germany, and Britain, also rallied. Bond yields fell as prices rose. The U.S. dollar, which fell sharply on Thursday, 3rd of April, rebounded somewhat, but remains near its weakest levels of the year. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
The following is part of the speech delivered on April 26, 2022 by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in meeting with a number of university students and academic personalities on the 24th day of month of Ramadan. As for the elimination of ideals, it means making individuals indifferent towards poverty, corruption, and discrimination. From the viewpoint of the enemy, there must be a fight against the efforts to destroy these three big devils and evil elements, poverty, corruption, and discrimination. They want to render individuals indifferent towards them. They want individuals to be indifferent towards the domination of Western culture, make them less motivated about standards of the Islamic Revolution. Well, the revolution has certain standards which have shaken the whole world and which stimulate resistance in countries. These standards are resistance against corruption and the refusal to give in to bullying and to being blackmailed. These are the standards of the Islamic Revolution. These are the standards of Islamic Iran. These have shaken the world and Islamic countries and have attracted nations to Iran. Whenever our president showed their presence among the people in Islamic countries, despite their various orientations, some of them had completely different political orientations, the people chanted slogans for them and expressed their support. What is the reason for this? Why is the flag of the Islamic Republic raised by other people in different countries, but the flag of the US is burned? These standards have moved the world. Therefore, they want to undermine these standards inside the country and make individuals lose their motivation for them. Other standards include a return to original Islam, the rejection of reactionary attitude, and resistance on the issue of Palestine, which I will discuss at the end of my statements, God willing. So these are the main concerns. We must have these concerns. Who the people who wish to eliminate identity, the ideals, and independence are, what their number is, and how successful they are, is another issue. This discussion falls on you. You must sit down and discuss and study them in your meetings, but you should know, and you surely know, that such a thing exists. These are the concerns.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrors fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to